So did you hear what the Lord said today? Come on. It was pretty pronounced. He said he was coming. Didn't he say that? He's coming to take us, right? Take us up. Anyway, that was encouraging to me because today's message is about the return of Jesus. What an awesome day when he comes. What an awesome day when he comes. Father, I just ask that what you've put on my heart today would just ring true for all of us, Lord, that you are coming. And you've got a plan, and you've actually spelled the plan out to us. And Lord, help us to see that and to look for it, understand it, and be encouraged by it. And I ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Today we're going to spend most of our time in Matthew chapter 24. So if you want to go to Matthew chapter 24, that's a good place to start. But I'm just going to read a scripture before we start. It says in Titus 2, 11 to 15, it says, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires, to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good deeds. These things speak and exhort and reprove with all authority, and let no one disregard you." You know, Jesus, since each of us have made a turn in our lives, when we have repented, when we have acknowledged our sin, we've received Jesus, there's been a process going on. There's a process of redemption. It's a new birth. It's a reforming of who we are. He actually takes us out of a place of darkness. It says he takes us out of the kingdom of darkness and he places us into the kingdom of his beloved Son right here. And so there's this process that we're going through. And the process is because he's preparing us for himself. And what an awesome thing that he's actually preparing us for himself. He's coming for you. And you can say, he's coming for me. Now, what I'm going to look at today in Matthew 24 is actually, this really just spells out what's going to happen when Jesus comes. It's very clear, it's very succinct about what's going to happen before he comes. And see, God wants us to know what's going to be happening before he comes. Now, we don't know the day nor the hour, but we will know the season because he spells the season out to us very clearly. And so what I want to look at basically is just what Jesus speaks about. The guys ask him a couple of questions. He answers the questions very clearly in Matthew 24. Now, there are other scriptures in Ezekiel and Daniel and Revelation. When I look at Ezekiel and Daniel, it really shows a lot of the political stuff that's going to be going on with rulers and things like that and how they're coming against Israel. But I'm not going to be looking at that. And then if you look at Daniel is really more of a description, because it's really some really weird stuff in there, a description of the demonic, of what's going to be happening in the heavenlies, but I'm not going to really go there either. I just want to go on the very practical things that we can see. It says that we can see these things, and so as we go through them, you might want to make little highlights, and if you forget some things, I'll give you my notes later or whatever. So So anyway, but before we even start with, we'll go to Matthew 24, verse 1, okay? Let me turn there. It says, Jesus came out from the temple and was going away when his disciples came up to point out the temple building to him. Okay, so right there, we need to understand exactly what happened beforehand. Now, beforehand, Jesus was in the temple, and he just ripped apart the scribes and the Pharisees. That's where he talks about all these woes. Woes to you Pharisees, you scribes. You do this, you do that. And it's just like, you guys are whitewashed tombs. You guys are vipers. He just rips them apart. But he makes a proclamation, which is just, if we go to back up, we go to Matthew 23, starting in verse 37. These are just a couple of verses before, right? He leaves. He says, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I want to gather your children together the way a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you are unwilling. In other words, he said all these things, but he said, I've been wanting to get to know you. I wanted you to get to know me, but you guys are unwilling. And he says, behold, your house is being left to you desolate. What they've been doing in the temple was not glorifying God at all. They were going through all these motions and things. And when the Messiah comes and stands there in the temple, face to face with them, they wanted nothing to do with him because they didn't have the eyes to see nor the ears to hear. He says, behold, your house is being left to you desolate. For I say to you from now on, you will not see me until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And so then he leaves. He leaves the temple, and the disciples came up to him, and he pointed out the temple. They pointed out the temple building to him. That's kind of interesting because he said, you guys are leaving your house desolate, right? Which is what the temple was. And they're coming out and saying, oh, look, Lord, there's the temple. And like, it was kind of interesting that they said that. And so he actually says to them, do you see all these things? This is verse 2. Do you see all these things? Truly I say to you, not one stone here will be left upon another, which will not be torn down. And then it says he goes up to the Mount of Olives, which is really just across the Kidron Valley. They go up the hill. And it's there they ask him the question. Verse 3, as he was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us when will these things happen? What will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? So I can see that there are three questions. The first one has to do with what he just said. Your temple is going to be left desolate to you. You're not going to see me until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And then he tells them that this temple is going to be destroyed. Not one stone is going to be left upon another. But for some reason, they understood that was significant for his leaving and his returning. And they understood that it was going to be the end of the age. And that's why they asked the questions. Those three questions. So this is how I've seen this group together, because Jesus immediately begins to answer the question. And there are basically three little groups of scriptures. There's going to be Matthew 24, verses 4 through 8, and then 9 through 14, and then 15 to 31. And the first one, I'm going to call it birth pangs. So let's listen to what Jesus says. Verse 4, "And Jesus answered and said to them, 'See to it that no one misleads you, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will mislead many. You will be hearing of wars, rumors of wars. See that you are not frightened, for those things must take place, but that is not yet the end. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. In various places there will be famines and earthquakes. But all these things are merely the beginning of birth pangs.'" Okay? So there are these certain signs that we should be seeing, the wars, the rumors of wars, and all these natural disasters going on. And he is saying that these are birth pangs. And what does that mean? It means that something is starting to be burst. Okay? Now, we need to put that into context with what he says next, because we have seen wars, rumors of wars. We've seen earthquakes. We've seen famines. But it's going to be, I think, intensified more than what we've actually experienced in the past. So those were just the birth pangs. And so the next section, I'm going to label them as social pressures. So listen up here in verse 8. "But all these..." verse 9. Then they will deliver you to tribulation and will kill you. And you will be hated by all nations because of my name." Now remember, he's talking to the Jewish community. Now it does apply to us, because now we've become part of the Jewish community. We have been grafted in to the Jewish community. Okay? "You will be hated by all nations because of my name. At that time, many will fall away and will betray one another and hate one another. Many false prophets will arise and mislead many. Because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved." And so now he gives us an indication. He says, "This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end shall come." Okay, so we know, based on where we are today, based on missionary information and missionary statistics and where the gospel has gone forth, the gospel has gone forth into a tremendous amount of the world. Now, there is a section called the 1040 window, which a lot of the missionary peoples have been focused on, because it's in that particular area, which is basically in Asia, and the Middle East and Asia, North Africa, and around that area, where a huge population of people have yet to hear the gospel. Okay? So there's an indication here, when we look at this, that we're like getting closer to that. We're not there yet, okay? And we don't know exactly when that's going to happen. But I think we'll know when that happens when we begin to see the other things that Jesus points out to us as well. And so here we first had the birth pangs. There'll be false Christs and messiahs. We'll be hearing wars and rumors of wars. Nation will rise against nation, kingdoms against kingdoms, various places. There will be famines, various places, earthquakes. And then the social pressures. We'll be delivered to tribulation. We will be killed. We will be hated by all nations because of my name. Many will fall away and betray one another, hate one another, false prophets, lawlessness. Most people's love will grow cold. And it's so interesting, in both of these sections, he keeps reminding us there's going to be false Christs and false prophets, because the enemy is hell-bent on getting us to be distracted and to draw us away and not be looking for the return of Jesus. And remember, it says in verse 13, it says, the one who endures to the end. That says something about what we are going to have to do. We're going to have to be enduring something, right? Now, with that marker that Jesus gives, let's turn to Romans 11. Romans 11, verse 25. For I do not want you, brethren, to be uninformed of this mystery, so that you will not be wise in your own estimation, that a partial hardening has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in, and so all Israel will be saved, just as it is written. Okay? Now, I'm just going to make a little comment here, and I think that that statement is just so important, because there has been a doctrinal theology that has been planted into the church. It's, again, one of those tares that I've spoken about in the past. And that is that the church has replaced the Jews. It's called replacement theology. Has anybody ever heard of that? Has anybody never heard of that? Okay, so you're aware of that. What? Someone over there? Oh, okay. Now, we may not know that because we've been raised here and we understand that God has a purpose. He has a covenant with Israel, and he's going to fulfill that covenant. It has not yet been fulfilled. Now, they rejected him, but this is what it says. There was a partial hardening of Israel. Let me go back there. For I do not want you, brethren, to be uninformed of this mystery, so that you will not be wise in your own estimation, that a partial hardening has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. And so all Israel will be saved. They will be saved. Now, because they rejected the gospel, well, the gospel primarily, even though it was received by the Jews, the few Jews that accepted Jesus, it eventually went to the Gentile nations, and it was the Gentile nations that took it around the world. But somewhere between then and now, and this has been propagated in so many churches, that they believe that the Jews have been, I mean, they're done with. Which is why during the Holocaust, there were so many churches that knew exactly what was going on in Germany, but they never said anything. They never stood. There were some people that stood up for them, but many, many in the church wanted nothing to do with it because they thought God was done with the Jews. And so by getting rid of them, they were happy. That's a sad thing, but that's a truth that was in the church. God isn't finished because he's coming for all of us. All right, now let's go back to Matthew 24. So Jesus now proceeds and gives some more specifics as to what that time will be. And that time is called Jacob's trouble. It's called the Great Tribulation. So we're going to start now, and from 15 to 31, well, actually from 15 pretty much to 28, we're going to see the Great Tribulation being spelled out right in front of our eyes, okay? Verse 15, therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation, which is spoken of through the prophet, through Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, let the reader understand. Now, we're just going to pause there. Jesus was basically saying, Daniel already spelled it out. I already given Daniel the information. And he's referring to the prophet of Daniel when he has this vision of the end time. And it's very specific. We're not going there right now. But that's why that word desolation, abomination of desolation, those are very key words, because that's exactly the words that Daniel used about the end times, which is why the apostles who were with Jesus, when he said that there'd be the desolation of the temple, they understood that it had to do with the end times and it had to do with Daniel. So right there is telling us something very significant, okay? Now, shortly after Jesus had this, after he left, the whole temple system was totally destroyed, exactly how he said. Not one stone was left upon another. The Romans came and they leveled Jerusalem and they leveled the temple. There was like several million people that were killed. There was another million people that were enslaved, and the place was a mess. It was really a bloody, bloody mess. But in that scene, there was no raising up of this man of lawlessness, the Antichrist, because that's what they're talking about. The abomination of desolation is talking about the Antichrist who comes to the temple and he declares himself as God. And we have not seen that. So just think about what needs to happen then. We need a temple. The temple's not there. They have a wall, but that wall has, I don't think that's the temple. That was the city wall. But I want to read you something, okay? This is Derek Prince, Prophetic Guide for the End Times. He says, I have no question about what the holy place is. It's the temple area in Jerusalem. Now, he doesn't say the temple because there's no temple there. Okay? He says, it doesn't matter who occupies that site. God has never withdrawn his promise. The second scripture also confirms that God sanctified this place. He's talking about 1 Kings there. Anyway, this is what he says. I believe that the process is part okay, I'm going to read this, 2 Thessalonians, which is, I have scripture here also. Now, speaking about the Antichrist, Paul mentions him in connection with the coming of the Lord. Let no one deceive you by any means. For the day will not come unless the falling away comes first. I shared this just a couple of weeks ago. And the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, also known as Antichrist, the man of lawlessness, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped. So he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. He says, I believe that process is part of what is included in Matthew 24:15. I believe it's very close at hand. I'm not a person who speculates. It is established. It is an established fact that groups of Jewish people are preparing busily for the restoration of the temple. It has also been discovered. Now listen to this. It's very interesting. It has also been discovered by Jewish archaeologists that the space the Holy of Holies is occupied is not where the Dome of the Rock is. They think the Dome of the Rock is on the Holy of Holies, the place where the temple was. But according to archaeologists' recent discoveries, it's not. Let me just go back. It has been discovered by Jewish archaeologists that the space the Holy of Holies occupied is not where the Dome of the Rock or the Mosque of Omar stands, but north of it. So that it is conceivable that the Antichrist, who is going to be a master of politics, could strike a deal between the Jews and the Arabs by which the Arabs would retain the Mosque of Omar and the Jews would be permitted to build the temple just north on the true site of the Holy of Holies. I'm not saying it will happen that way, but it could. And there are plans. They're ready. From my recent studying, they're ready to build a temple as soon as they're able to. Right now, though, because of that conflict up there with the between the Palestinians and the Jews, it's just been crazy. But like it says, this Antichrist guy, he's going to be a political leader. He's going to come in, and he's going to kind of like schmooze? Is that the right word? Schmooze? What's that? Schmooze. Yeah, he's going to... He's going to like... He's going to deceive them and get them on his side. And then the temple's going to be built. That's my understanding. Because he wants to take the place there. Okay, so if we look at that, Jesus isn't coming next week. He's not coming, you know. We still have to see that happen, right? And see, what's going to happen is the Antichrist is going to come, but he's not going to declare himself as being God for some time. And if we go back into Daniel and stuff like that, they talk about a time period of 7 years, and it's after 3.5 years of that 7 year time period is where he comes in and he declares himself as God. But so there's that time before where he's manipulating and controlling and doing all these political things and gathering nations together and trying to do all this stuff. So, we're going back to 15. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation, which was spoken through Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, let the readers understand. Then those who are in Judea must flee to the mountains. Whoever is on the housetop must go down and Whoever is on the housetop must not go down to get the things that are in the house. However, whoever is in the field must not turn back and get his cloak. But woe to those who are pregnant, those who are nursing babies in those days. But pray that your flight will not be in the winter or on the Sabbath. For then there will be a great tribulation such as never occurred since the beginning of the world until now, nor ever will. Jesus is saying, when this happens, get out. As soon as you hear that he is declaring himself as God, you need to get out. Now, that's exactly what happened in 70 AD as well. This Roman guy comes in with all of his armies, and he begins to besiege Jerusalem. But then he gets called back because he's going to be raised up as the emperor, and some other guy, Titus, comes in and finishes the job later on. But it's going to happen again. It's going to be worse. It's going to be worse than what happened in 70 AD. Because there still needs, according to this, there still needs to be the temple in order for the Antichrist to come in and make that declaration. See, Jesus is spelling the whole thing out right here. And it's all backed up by Old Testament prophetic words. It's incredible. Unless those days have been cut short, no life would have been saved. This is going to be so devastating. There's going to be so much bloodshed because some won't leave. Some will, some won't. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be cut short. Then if anyone says to you, behold, here's the Christ, or there he is, don't believe him. For false Christs, false prophets will arise and show great signs and wonders so as to mislead, if possible, even the elect. Now he's talking about that after the Antichrist has been declared, he declares himself as God. That comes after that. And I believe that that's part of what is going on in the spirit world is because God had cast Satan out of the heavens and cast him down to the earth. And then he just begins to go, he goes crazy. And that's when he enters, I don't know how that happens, but he enters into the man of lawlessness and he begins to do all this stuff. And all hell, literally, all hell is breaking loose. And it's during this time that if you read in Revelation, where they talk about the different seals. They open this seal and this thing happened. Open this seal and that thing happened. I'm going to read one of the seals that happens. And it's really devastating what is actually happening. Because this time, I mean, and this, when you think about what's even happening now, okay, in Europe, where you have Russia and they're coming against Ukraine, that little battle, I mean, it's in a sense it's a little battle because it's not yet a world war, is affecting the whole world. And so what's going to happen here in the Middle East when this guy comes and begins to manipulate these things and they're going to start coming against Israel, this is going to affect the whole world. In fact, even right now, I don't know if you're aware of it, but Israel is posturing themselves to attack Iran. They have to attack Iran because Iran has just enriched uranium and now they're actually putting together atomic weapons, and as soon as they get them, they're going to fire them. Because they've been saying for years, we are out to destroy Israel, we are out to destroy America. Now, they proclaim that. That's nothing hidden. It's right out there in the open. They hate the Jews. Why? It's because they're possessed by demonic beings, which are Antichrist beings. It says, you know, there have been many antichrists. And things are just building. They're building and they're building. And they're going to keep building until this happens. And so the Lord wants us to be aware. He wants us to be watching and seeing so that we know when those times are going to be. So that we can encourage one another and not be listening to these weird prophet guys who are saying, oh, Jesus came over here or Jesus came over here or listen to these prophetic words. No. Watch what's going on and be led by the Spirit. Because there's victory for us. This is not devastation for us. It's going to be hard. It's going to be very hard. But His grace is sufficient. Some of us may not live to that point, but we are. The way I see things here and the way I see things in the world, we are approaching that place, that time, that season. And if we not, and if we're not, we're at least able to say, or at least we could all just go to the scripture and say, you know, what do you think about Jesus' coming? Well, let me tell you what I think about Jesus' coming. And we read through this and just say, hey, you know, this hasn't happened, this hasn't happened. And when we see this happen, then we're going to know it's close, right? I mean, ever since the pandemic, so many things have been coming out on YouTube about, oh, you know, the Antichrist here, Antichrist there. But, you know, the Antichrist is not going to be an American. It's not going to be somebody from South America. It's going to be someone from the Middle East. Because when you read all the political things in Ezekiel and Daniel, it's a political leader from the Middle East that comes and wants to destroy Israel. Let's go back to verse 24. For false Christs, false prophets will arise, will show great signs and wonders, so as to mislead, if possible, even the elect. Behold, I have told you in advance. So if they say to you, behold, he's in the wilderness, do not go out. Or behold, he's in the inner rooms, do not believe them. For just as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Wherever the corpse is, there the vultures will gather. So first of all, when he comes, everybody is going to know. It's not like, well, yeah, he landed in South America last year, and this big revival is going to... No. This is bigger than what we can even comprehend. This is so much bigger than that. God could put on a really big fireworks show. You know that? That the whole world can see at the same time. Let me read you a couple scriptures here. Okay, this is going to focus on verse 28. It says, wherever the corpse is, there the vultures will gather. That's kind of an interesting statement that's just thrown in there. But let me, from my perspective, explain to you scripturally exactly what that is. Okay? She's saying, well, where is he going to go now? Let's go to Ezekiel 19. Did I say 19? I'm sorry, 39. Now, Ezekiel 38 and 39 are very specific about all the political stuff, all the armies and this, and, you know, Gog and this and Gog that, and all those things, but I'm not going to get into that. We're going to start in verse 17. Now, he's speaking to Ezekiel. When it says Son of Man here, he's speaking to Ezekiel. He's not talking about the Son of Man, Jesus. Okay, Ezekiel 39, starting in verse 17. As for you, Son of Man, thus says the Lord God, speak to every kind of bird and to every beast of the field. Assemble and come, gather from every side to my sacrifice, which I am going to sacrifice for you, a great sacrifice on the mountains of Israel, that you may eat flesh and drink blood. You will eat the flesh of mighty men and drink blood of the princes of the earth, and as though they were rams, lambs, goats, and bulls, all of them fatlings of Bashan. So you will eat fat until you are glutted and drink blood until you are drunk. For my sacrifice, which I have sacrificed for you, you will be glutted at my table with horses and charioteers, with mighty men and all men of war, declares the Lord. He just described what it's going to look like at the end of the tribulation. There's going to be so much carnage that there's going to be these vultures just coming down and just feeding on human beings. That sounds horrible. But that's what vultures do. They feed on freshly killed meat. And God is saying, this is my sacrifice for the animals. You can also see that in Revelation 19 and Luke 17:37. So I'm not going to read more, but if you want to go there, you can go there later. All right, we're going back to Matthew here. And here we go. Verse 29. But immediately after the tribulation of those days, this is what happens. The sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from the sky, and the powers of heaven will be shaken. Now, Jesus hasn't come yet, but now we're getting close. We're getting really close. It says, and then, verse 30, and then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. Now, this is my thought, and I'm going to give you some scriptures that go along with it. I think that's literal. I think the sun's going to stop shining, and there won't be a reflection on the moon. The whole earth will be dark. People are going to be shaking in their pants. But those who understand the signs of the times, they're going to be there with their lamps and their oil, looking for the Messiah to come. They're going to be waiting. Turn to Isaiah 60. Now, I told you about a big fireworks show, right? Isaiah 60, starting in verse 18. Violence will not be heard again in your land, nor devastation or destruction within your borders. But you will call your walls salvation, your gates praise. No longer will you have the sun for light by day, nor for brightness will the moon give you light. But you will have the Lord for an everlasting light, and your God for your glory. Your sun will no longer set, nor will the moon wane, but you will have the Lord for an everlasting light, and the days of your mourning will be over. Then all your people will be righteous. They will possess the land forever, the branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. The smallest one will become a clan, and the least a mighty nation. I, the Lord, will hasten in its time. Let's go to another scripture that amplifies that a little bit. Let's go to Revelation 21. Revelation 21, starting in verse 22. I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb are its temple. And the city has no need for the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God has illuminated it, and its lamp is the Lamb. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory to it. In the daytime, there will be no need for night, Its gates will never be closed, and they will bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. So what I am seeing here is that these natural things are going to occur. And it's going to cause heartache. But yet for us who believe, what's going to happen? We're going to actually see God coming in all of his glory. And that light is going to be so brilliant. And it's going to light up the whole world. It is going to light up the whole world. And that will be the time when the Jews who understood this before he comes, they'll be saying, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Because they will have been shown these things and they will have turned from their ways. Especially after all those several years with all the devastation that was going to go on in Israel. They're finally going to say, yes, this is the end. Jesus is the Messiah and we're waiting for him. Verse 30 in Matthew, it says, then the Son of Man will appear in the sky. Okay, so there's going to be a sign of the Son of Man coming, which just might be his brilliance. Who knows, right? It's going to be so bright, and the angels, and I know that he comes and gathers us. We go meet him in the air, because when he's coming, we're like going out to greet him, because we're all going to be together, because he's coming here, right? He's not coming to take us away. He's coming to be with us, but we get to go up and meet him in the air and come and join him here. And then it says, verse 30, and the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn. They will mourn. Turn to Revelation 6. Revelation 6, verse 12. It says, in my book, Bible says, the sixth seal, terror. I looked when he broke the sixth seal, and there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth made of hair, and the whole moon became like blood, and the stars of the sky fell to the earth, as a fig tree casts its unripe figs when shaken by a great wind. The sky was split apart like a scroll when it was rolled up. Talk about the sign of the sign of Jesus is coming. the sky was split apart like a scroll when it's rolled up, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. When the kings of the earth and the great men and the commanders and the rich and the strong and every slave and free man hid themselves in the caves and among the rocks and the mountains, and they said to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the presence of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of their wrath has come, and who is able to stand? They know what's going on. They know they've missed it. We're going to be sitting there glorifying God in his coming, and these people are running into these caves wanting to hide away from the glory of the Lord. Oh, man. I don't want to be there. But it says they loved lawlessness. And the word is agape. They loved darkness and they loved lawlessness. And then it says, verse 31, I just already read this, and he will send forth his angels with a great trumpet. They will gather together his elect from the four winds and from the end of the skies to one another. Jesus is here. It's all spelled out. So I'm going to go recap this for you, okay? Birth pangs. False Christs and Messiahs. Wars and rumors of wars, nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom, famines, earthquakes, social pressures, delivered to tribulation, killings, hatred by all nations, falling away and betrayal of one another, hating one another, false prophets, lawlessness, the love of many will grow cold. The great tribulation, Jacob's trouble. We're going to see the abomination of the desolation standing in the holy place. There's got to be a temple first. And then there's going to be a great falling away in the church. We see a lot of that right now. So much of that. The church has drifted so far from the truth. There'll be an immediate exodus of Jews toward the mountains in the east toward Masada. A great tribulation such as not occurred or will. In other words, these things have to take place before Jesus comes. Again, more false Christs, false prophets will show. They'll begin to show these demonic signs and wonders, just like they did in the days of Moses. Those guys were showing their demonic powers. They were able to turn the water into blood. They were able to bring the frogs on. Eventually, they couldn't do some of the other things, but they had these demonic powers, and they were false signs and wonders. Jesus will come like a flash of lightning for everyone to see. And the end of the tribulation, changes in the heavens, physical. Sun will be darkened, moon will give its light. Changes in the heavens, spiritual. Stars will fall, the powers of heaven shaken. Now, with regards to the stars, have been people understanding that they might be the falling, the casting down of the fallen angels onto the earth, because a lot of times angels are noted in the Old Testament as stars. But that's, I don't fully understand that. But when it comes to the sun darkening, and the moon not giving its light, and then I read those other scriptures, and they all fall in place with the coming of Jesus, I'm thinking, that would be a cool way for Jesus to come. He just shuts off the light source, and he comes, the light of the world. Right? He's coming. Then the sign, the Son of Man will appear, the tribes will mourn, and Jesus returns. Hallelujah. Now that's my introduction. I wanted to go into the next chapter, but I don't have the time today. And I'm not prepared either. And I don't have lunch. I don't have lunch for you, or coffee, or anything. So I would just encourage us to consider what Jesus is saying. He said this 2,000 years ago. And I wanted to give you another little piece of information. One of the things, I'm not going to go there, but there's an extra line in Luke with regards to the same passage here. But Luke adds something about the occupation of the Gentiles of Jerusalem. Now, since 20 AD up until 1967, which was the Yom Kippur War, the Six-Day War, isn't that what I just said? Six-Day War. Is that the Yom Kippur War? Oh, they're different. It's just a Six-Day War? Okay, I know she was there, so... Oh, you were there for Yom Kippur. Okay. One of those wars. I'm glad you didn't get killed. Anyway, 1967, the Six-Day War, was the first time in roughly 2,000 years that Israel had control over Jerusalem. And so that had to come to pass, even though there's a mosque up there. They're the ones now politically in charge of that area. And they had not been before 1967. It's always been this country, that country, and the last ones before them was, I believe, England, right? And so when we look at these facts, we look and say, wow, maybe we're even closer than we think. Because now if they have, in a sense, the authority up there, and this Schmoozer guy comes in and said, hey, let's build a temple. I'll even give you the money. You know what I mean? They're gonna go for it. Anyway, I'm excited. And I want us to be excited. I don't want us to be despondent when all this stuff is, hey, I mean, it would be awesome to be here. I mean, in a sense, we're all going to be here when Jesus comes. But I want to see the show, you know? I know. The dead in Christ will be raised. Those living will come with me with the Lord, and they're going to come with him here, and we'll all be part of the show. Yeah, right? Crystal will be like this. And you... No, you won't. You won't need anything to eat that day. Holy Spirit, thank you for your word. Thank you, Jesus, for answering the disciples' question. And you answered them very specifically and even chronologically. Lord, help us to discern the days that we're in so that we can encourage others not to be despondent and have hope, because you are our blessed hope. And we are looking for you because you're preparing a wedding and we are your bride. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Thank you for interceding for us. Thank you for praying for us, for our success, so that we may glorify your name and your name alone. Lord, I just want to pray for Israel even today. Lord, as the powers around them just want to destroy them, Lord. And you've given them wisdom to go in and take out some of the nuclear plants and just begin to destroy certain things, Lord, but things are escalating and they're getting very difficult right now. And we just pray again for the peace of Jerusalem, Lord. And we know that that's the centerpiece, Lord. It's the epicenter of everything that's going to take place in the near future. And we look for your coming, Lord, because that's where you're going to come, right there on the Mount of Olives. When you left, that's what the angel said, that you'll come back in the same way in the clouds, right on that place, the Mount of Olives. I thank you, Lord, for adopting us into your house. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.